Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello there, welcome to a brand new Arseblog Arsecast right here on arseblog.com. How are you? Hope you're well. It's another Friday. We've made it through another week, everyone. Hurrah! We're here. The world is here. Everything is A-OK, apart from the fact, of course, that there's no football this weekend. There is, well, there's football, but there's no Arsenal. And Arsenal is essentially football for the most part. I mean, I know there are other teams and stuff. By its very nature, sport necessitates them, but you know what I'm saying. A weekend without Arsenal, when everyone else is playing, it's weird and strange. And of course, who do we blame? That's right, Southampton. Yes, we were supposed to be playing Southampton in the Premier League this weekend. Rather selfishly, though, thinking only of themselves, they've gone and got themselves into the EFL Cup Final. Where, because they're playing Manchester United, I have to divert the umbrage that I have taken with Southampton and move it into the path of Manchester United because, you know, we don't want Manchester United to win a trophy. We don't want Jose Mourinho to be in any way happy. That's not a good thing. You know, so you don't want a weekend without Arsenal and a weekend in which Jose Mourinho is happy, content, where he feels like his life and his work is validated in any way. We don't want that, but of course I'm viewing this weekend's EFL Cup final. It's going to be one of those, isn't it, where it's going to be a scrappy, scrappy old game and Zlatan will probably score the winner in like the 78th minute, something like that. We'll be there going, "Oh, I just sat through this terrible game. Now this, and there's no way Southampton are going to get a goal." So, I don't think I'll watch it. I think I'll go do something else instead, like go to the cinema or, I don't know, make some music. That's what I've been doing this evening. I've been making music. Well, not really making music. I've been playing around with Logic. When I was a younger man, a DJ and all that kind of stuff, I did, during my clubbing years, make some music, dance music, house music. And, back then it was quite the production. You know, you had to have the computer, you had to have a sampler, you had to have all these, effects units, you had to have a keyboard, various synths and everything on modules. It was a big production. Honestly, now you just need a computer. It's amazing the noises and stuff you can make. So I've been sitting here playing with like loops and synths and all that kind of stuff. Let's go. I'll just go upstairs and I'll start recording the Arsecast. I'll just fiddle around with this for just a tiny bit. It won't take long, really, honestly. And then I was like, you know. Making just noises and stuff. And then I realized I've been sitting here for 40 minutes. 40 minutes. Sounded good in my head. I mean, it's not something you could ever, play, or nobody would ever want to play, or nobody ever should play, because it is, terrible. But I like the bleeping and the things and arpeggios and... I can't play a note, though, really. You know, I can fiddle around on a keyboard, but can't play a note. But anyway, look, here we are. And, I was thinking about what we were going to do for this Arsecast, because if there was a game this weekend, you can at least preview the game and there's all that kind of crack going on. But there is no game, so we can't do that. And we've already spoken about the Sutton game, the FA Cup game, on Monday. We did that in the Arsecast Extra with James on Tuesday. And look, with the greatest of respect to that scintillating 90 minutes, I don't think there's any more we can squeeze out of that. The previous Arsecast, we did the whole, what happens with Arsene Wenger thing from various different perspectives, and I didn't feel like doing didn't feel like doing that again, or a round table. Maybe I could have done one of those now that I think about it, but, you know, sort of with three or four guests, and where are we now? And, well, Algernon, what do you think of the current situation at Arsenal?
Well, it's not terribly good, is it, I'm afraid?
That kind of thing. You know, we could have done that, but I decided against it. And what I've decided to do, for good or for bad, I'm not quite sure how this is going to work out, is to open up the phone lines. Well, not so much the phone lines. Well, there is a phone line. We've got a telephone number, a UK telephone number, and a Skype account. And people can dial into that telephone number and or Skype account. And what we're going to do, because I'm going to be joined now in a couple of minutes by Andrew Allen from Arseblog News, is we're going to sit here and record, and as the calls come in, you know, we're going to answer them and see, you know, who's on the other end and see what it is they want to talk about. And hopefully not too many people will ring up just to call me a cunt. I'm pretty sure that is going to happen. I mean, it'd be hard to resist, in fairness. I wouldn't blame anyone who tried, but hopefully there will be some people who want to talk about, you know, some stuff about Arsenal or have got something to say, and we can discuss those things, and we'll try and get, you know, a good few callers and keep the lines open for about an hour and see what the hell kind of a podcast turns out. It might be just terrible. I don't know technologically if it's going to work really very well. I mean, I can record the Skypes and I can hear them and they can hear me and everything else, but I'm just worried that there might be like a flurry of calls. They all come in at the same time and then you've got all these people that I don't know. I've never done this before, or maybe nobody at all is going to call in. Maybe that's the thing. I did put a post up on the site. We're going to do something on Twitter and Facebook now in a few minutes just to give it a plug. So hopefully there'll be some people out there who are willing to take part and happy to come on and discuss Arsenal and various aspects of Arsenal, or maybe they want to discuss recipes. I don't know. I'm happy to do that. Share a nice recipe for bread or cake or a pasta sauce, whatever it might be. A good soup. Now, the weather at the moment, yes, it would lend itself to a good old soup. At the end, maybe if you want, I can give my recipe for butternut squash and chili soup. How would you like that? Diplomatic silence, I think they call that. But look, let's bring Andrew in and see how we go from here. Good evening to you.
Good evening.
What are you expecting from this?
I'm very nervous.
Are you? Why?
Well, I mean, you know, talking to strangers over Skype, anything could happen.
There's no video, so don't worry.
Oh, I'm glad that's an in joke.
Oh, good. Well, look, it's nearly time for the lines to open, so I think we might just open the lines and see what happens, see if anyone calls in, and see if it works for a start.
Excellent. All right, let's do it.
Okay, here comes. Oh, Ranieri just got sacked.
What?
Mm.
Wow. I can't believe that. I'm surprised. I thought they might give him more time.
Yeah. There are loads of contact requests here in Skype.
Holy shit. Okay.
Mm. So I should just accept some of them and see what happens. Here comes a call.
Okay.
We've got our first call. Hello.
Hello. Wow.
Wow. Who's this? Is Andrew McLeish.
That's me.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Wow, this is crazy. I thought for sure I would never get through.
Okay, you're literally the first. There's loads of people trying to get through at the same time, so I'm going to have to reject all these calls. There's loads of them. So where are you calling from?
Alberta, Canada.
Andrew, I can barely hear anything at the other end.
You can't hear the Skypes?
No, not really.
All right, so we've had to say goodbye to Andrew Allen because he's got a there's an echo on the line and he can't hear the Skype callers. Andrew McLeish from Alberta, Canada, are you still there?
Still here, yeah.
Okay, so listen, what's going on? What do you want to talk about?
The weather in Alberta. Obviously, we're talking about Arsenal. I don't know. I Do you have a topic in mind, or are we just talking about recent results or Wenger or what?
Anything, you know. I'm just trying to get you guys to give me the content to get through an entire podcast. You know, I was looking for inspiration from the callers. So
yeah.
You know, you just called up just because you thought it might be a cool thing to do.
Well, Ars Blog is like a huge part of my life. I don't know. This is the thing I look forward to in the morning. We wake up in Canada is Monday and Friday. We got Ars Blog to listen to. So
okay.
I don't know. I always wanted to call up and say, I assumed I would never get through. This is blowing my mind.
Okay. Well, that's fine. That's fine. Yeah. How is the weather in Alberta, Canada?
It's cold.
It's cold.
Still snowy here. So I don't know. I assume if it's up to me, I just want to vent my feelings on Arsenal as a whole and Wenger and the season, I suppose.
Okay. Well, look, I'm trying to keep it moving, you know. So
yeah,
let's do it then. What do you want to say? What is the thing that you want to vent about most?
For me, it's such a delicate situation, and you hear, you know, the vitriol, you know, spouted by all the people on the Wenger outside, and you know, obviously you were talking about Piers Morgan, like it's just complete shite to listen to that guy talk. But at the same time, what's the proper way for us fans to politely say, hey, you know, thanks for the memories, Wenger, but it is time to go. And it seems so like such an obvious thing to me as someone who's played, you know, soccer, as we call it, or football and sports, my entire life, to be able to imagine that, hearing the how passionate or how moving a speech he might be able to give, to me it just makes perfect sense that after 20 years, there's no way that could carry the same meaning if he's not able to adjust his tactics and his motivational talks and his system. It just wouldn't have the same effect on players, especially players who, you know, seemingly can't fall from Wenger's graces, you know, despite their.
Well, he's gone. Andrew McLeish from Alberta, Canada, is gone. Okay, so I'm going to go to the next call and see how this one works out. Hap Bryant, hello to you.
Hi, Andrew.
Hey, how's it going? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from the not crime-ridden Chicago, Illinois.
The not crime-ridden Chicago, Illinois. This is like a Chicago from another dimension, is it?
Well, it's from the solar system that just got discovered yesterday.
Okay, cool. 7 new planets, I believe, which is great.
Yes.
Means we have some options when we got to get the fuck off this one. I like it. So how's it all going out there? Is it cold where you are?
It's been rather pleasant, actually.
Okay.
By February Chicago standards.
All right. We just had a guy from Alberta, Canada, and I think the weather collapsed his Skype connection, unfortunately, so he got cut off midway through the call. So, look, what do you want to talk about? What's on your mind?
Well, I'm interested in the way that the manager's decision, I guess, has been handled in the press and the media, and particularly in the sense that, you know, I've seen a lot of what I would call columns or opinion pieces about whether he should or even will leave. Mm. But what I've not seen is any actual reporting on the matter. So no one asking anybody on the board or Ivan Gazidis or anybody with any knowledge of the situation, you know, what the status is. And nobody, I mean, I understand that the club is going to play this close to the vest. They're not going to come out and say, you know, what the future holds for the manager or for the club in general. But I think that there are ways to maybe ask some questions around that. And I just wondered, you know, if the two of you, how you would handle, you know, actually reporting on this and what we should look for as supporters and I guess, you know,
yeah,
media.
I, It's only just me. Andrew Allen isn't here because we had some technical issues, so it's only just me. But I think the issue is that the reason it's so vague is that because nobody really knows, and I don't think the board even know. I think the board know what they would like to happen, but they also are aware that it could be a bit difficult. I think Arsene Wenger probably knows what he wants to do, but, you know, is aware that there's a weight of opinion growing from various quarters, you know. So I think that's where it gets a little bit difficult, and that's why it's so vague. There's just no... it comes down to, A, results, and B, then what Arsene Wenger decides. That is the thing, you know, and that's why there's so little clarity about it, and we probably won't have any clarity about it until the end of the season. Or, you know, if things go badly over the next month, we might have more clarity about it then. But, you know, obviously, I hope that we win some games. So that's the main reason.
Yeah, I'm wondering if there's a way to kind of figure out, because as you've said, and I think. Rightly, this is not just a managerial replacement. This is a real structural and cultural transformation that would have to happen.
Yeah.
And so if the club is not prepared in any way for that, I think is there not a way to kind of ask some questions to get at that point, you know, to someone with contacts in the club to say, look, you know, what are the structures that the club is thinking about, and sure. what sort of succession planning is getting put in place, or
yeah.
you know, if not, then why not?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the thing is the club aren't going to give that information either. They're not going to talk about that while Arsene Wenger is still making up his mind. So, you know, again, it brings us back to this situation where we are kind of in a bit of limbo, but that's just where we're going to be. But look, Hap, I'm going to move on and take another call.
Yes.
Because I'm going to try to keep people moving around. Thank you very much for getting involved. Really appreciate
it.
And
thanks for taking the call.
Hey, no problem. And stay safe in Chicago of the Seven Planets, all right?
It's not a real problem.
Okay, man. Cheers.
Cheers.
All right. Okay, we have James Lowe. James Lowe, are you there?
I'm there, Andrew.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Milton says hi.
Oh, yes. Milton, the most excellent cockapoo that I ever met in my life.
How's it going? Ranieri's just been sacked.
Yeah, saw that. That's kind of...
makes you think about Arsene Wenger a little bit.
Older gentleman going through the mill, that kind of thing?
Well, they've gone 6 months without winning a title and he's been sacked at Leicester.
It's a different world they exist in. The Arsenal world is very, very unique. What specifically is on your mind this evening?
Just how quickly I've sort of got over the Munich result. I was kind of sort of at my lowest point as an Arsenal fan. And now, you know, I win at Sutton and I'm kind of melancholy again. I don't know if it's because it's sort of groundhog season and we're used to getting over such disappointment or not. You feel the same way, or are you still pretty down?
Well, I think, you know, I think we said in the Arscast Extra on Monday that once you get a bit of time and a bit of distance between the results, then, you know, it doesn't feel quite as raw or as intense, you know? And there is that thing. You know what it's a bit like when you lose to Munich? You know, if you can't sleep and you start thinking about your life, and you come to all these terrible conclusions. Like, everything is worst-case scenario. It's 4 in the morning, you can't sleep, and your mind is racing, and you're going, oh, God, this is terrible. And there's a bit like... it's a bit like that when you lose as terribly as we did against Bayern Munich. And then in the cold light of day, you go, well, you know, it's bad, but still perhaps not as bad as I thought it was going to be. But, I mean, what do you think? What do you think should happen at the end of this season?
Wenger could get the Leicester job. That's the possibility.
Door is opened.
Yeah, he says he wants to stay in management. I don't know, more the same. I'm scared of change now. I've realised that in the last few days.
Stockholm syndrome. Yeah, well, maybe so. We'll have to wait and see. It could be more of the same for the next couple of seasons. But we'll have to wait and see. I don't know what's going to go on. But look, will you give Milton a pat on the head for me? And I'm going to take another call here and see how that goes.
All right, cheers, Andrew.
See you, James. Bye. Do we have Connor Shanahan Cluth?
You do indeed. Hi.
Hey,
there.
How's it going?
Not too bad, thanks. Yourself?
I'm all right. How are you? Where are you from?
I'm from Lincolnshire in England, and I'm not too bad, thanks.
Good. Connor Shanahan is there's a whack of Irish off that name.
Yes, mother's side is the Shanahan, dad's side is the Cluth.
Okay, all right. So what's going on?
Not much at the moment, actually. I've been just reading Lukewarm, just posted recently. I've got to say, Lucas Perez has been fantastically impressive in his cameo appearances, so very interesting read. Apart from that, I've just been back from work for the past hour, so trying to chill out.
So talking about Arsenal in some fashion is going to make that happen for you, is that right?
No way in hell.
How are you feeling about the season and the situation and where we are and how it's all been going?
Honestly, I'm bitterly disappointed with how we've performed in the latter half of the season so far. I think we could have done so much more. But at the same time, I think things like the Bayern result, it was awful. There's no two ways about it. But I think anybody who looked at it realistically with our form coming into it, they could have seen that a thrashing was on the cards. It was... I didn't watch the game, if I'm honest. I couldn't bring myself to watch the game because I knew that Bayern away is just an awful, awful prospect. So I think overall, it's a classic Arsenal thing. First half of the season, you big yourselves up, you feel fantastic, and then just you get knocked down so quickly.
Yeah. I mean, but will a few wins make you feel better, more energized? You know, there's some big games coming up. Obviously, we've got Liverpool, the next game, and then Bayern Munich. I mean, there's no way we're going through against Bayern Munich. But, you know, imagine if you got a result at Anfield, you get a win there, you pull off a 1-0 or a 2-1 or something against Bayern to restore a little bit of pride. FA Cup quarterfinal against Lincoln, which you would like to think that we are capable of winning. You know, does that transform things a little bit, or does it just, you know, set you further up to knock you down again later?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's the Bayern game which is coming. It reminds me a lot of the AC Milan game a few seasons ago, where we go into it, we get a 3-0 result, we feel really good about ourselves, and we go on and we end up getting Champions League qualification at the end of the season, and everything for a couple of weeks felt fantastic. And then you looked at the season as a whole and you kind of went, well, is that a missed opportunity?
Yeah.
And I think a good result against Liverpool at Anfield would be fantastic. And I think if we had any form of a decent result against Bayern at home, I mean, you think about the 2-0 that we got last year, I think it was, wasn't it, at home? It was over the moon. Everybody was just off their seats at that. So I think a 1-0 result, a 2-1 result against Bayern would be brilliant. And I could look at the season at that point and say, you know what, I'm kind of pleased with what we've done. As long as we finish in the top four, I would say that I'm kind of pleased with what we've done if we get another result against Bayern.
All right, cool. Well, look, we'll leave it there, Connor. I'm going to try and get some other callers on and keep this thing moving. But thank you for taking the time.
No worries. Best of luck tonight.
Cheers.
Thanks. Bye.
All right, let me try this one. Hello. Do we have...
Hello, is this Andrew?
Osgur Kurtoglu.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm just fine. How are you?
I'm good. Where are you calling from? You sound like you're the far side of the moon.
Oh, really?
A little bit, but hey.
I'm actually calling from Stockholm, Sweden.
Okay. Sweden. It's all crazy over there at the moment with everything going on. All well,
yeah, I mean,
all well after that terrible, terrible attack.
Yeah, I mean, I had to go to my local mall to kind of calm my nerves and get a cocoa drink because I was so rattled up by nothing, absolutely nothing happening.
Okay, well, look, I'm glad you and everyone else is safe. So, what's on your mind this evening?
Well, I mean, Arsenal, I guess.
Sure.
In a way. I guess that's what you prefer to talk about in general. So, I mean, I sent you guys a question the other day, which you actually took up, and which was really funny because you pronounced my name and did a very audible and, like, defeatist groan right before it.
Yeah.
Which was hilarious, and I appreciate it. But that kind of question, that was more about, you know, the, you know, you can't win with people thing of Alexis playing and Wenger getting flack and Ozil not playing and Wenger still getting flack. This time around, I've been thinking about this major conundrum of Wenger leaving, you know, whenever he does. And now it seems like more and more players are, you know, talking to media outlets in some way. Basically, you know how silly season isn't really just a month anymore. It's basically the whole year. So I read this piece about Bellerin, like, yeah, I'll maybe go to Barcelona if Wenger leaves.
Ah, okay.
So that put a whole different dimension of this thing, because everyone in the team seems to want him to stay.
Okay, but do you want to know what I think of that? What I think of that story, the Bellerin story that emerged in the press yesterday, you'll notice that there weren't any actual quotes from Hector Bellerin.
Yeah, exactly.
What I think that story was a little piece of PR or communications, what's the word I want to use here, shitwitchery from Arsenal, because, you know, we all know there's a thing going on with Mesut Ozil and Alexis Sanchez, you can't really use them in the same way because it doesn't feel as threatening. But, oh my God, if Arsene Wenger leaves, then Hector Bellerin might leave. People will go, ooh, because everyone loves Hector, right? He's a great kid. He's a really great player, potentially one of the best right-backs in Europe. And we all know of the lure of Barcelona for a guy who's come from La Masia and has come to a different club. Eventually, as is human nature, everyone feels like going home. And if home is one of the greatest football clubs in Europe, then, you know, as we've seen in the past with Cesc Fabregas, that's a thing that can happen. But my feeling genuinely is that that article was placed to kind of make people think twice or make people think again about, if Arsene Wenger leaves, then Hector might leave and Ozil might leave and Sanchez might leave. And the reality is that when managers leave football teams and they leave football clubs, the vast majority of players stay. You look at Chelsea, for example. You look at all the players who were really close to Mourinho, like Terry, like Lampard. You know, the guys that he brought in, Petr Cech was one of them at the time, who were there and who were really close to him and who said, look, this guy's the best manager. Oh, look, he's been sacked. And they didn't go anywhere. They didn't leave en masse.
Yeah, but
you know?
In the situation of defense, one of the managers we're talking about is a gigantic ass, so that plays into it.
But to us he is, but to those players he wasn't. You know, that's the thing. He was. You know, second time around it didn't go well, but the first time they thought the sun, moon, and star shone out of his arse. You know, so
true,
was
which he believes too.
Oh yes,
and I guess that is his allure. I'm guessing.
So look,
but the whole situation. Yeah. I get what you're saying, but here's the thing, though. I mean, now we went into that lane, but my question, my general question, is still like you talked about this the other day too, about and the previous. I guess ever since we lost in that typical fashion in Germany. Just like how is this supposed to happen? Like who would want the Arsene Wenger role at Arsenal? Like who would want to? Let's say we don't change the board or the owners or anything. Like who in their right mind would come in and say, yes, I want to do exactly that. I want to control all of this and is actually capable of doing it.
I don't know. I really don't know. And that's, you know, if it comes to it in the summer, then I think that's going to be a huge, huge challenge for the Arsenal board and for the people who are going to make that decision. But, you know, it's always going to be complicated when you have a manager that long in the job. So, you know, nobody said it was going to be easy. But look, I'm going to move on. I'm going to try and keep the calls moving. Good to talk to you. I hope I didn't get your name as wrong tonight.
And we'll practice in the future.
So. Okay, cool. You can send me some pronunciation guides by email, and I'll practice my best pronunciation. Stay safe in Sweden, and we'll talk to you again. I hope. Cheers.
Thank you. Cheers.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hi.
Arslan, how are you?
I am all right. How are you? Who are you?
Do you want my Twitter handle or do you want my name?
I guess just your name, seeing as we're talking. You know, it would be weird if your Twitter handle was like SpaceMonkey5000 or something.
Every time that I've listened to your podcast, it's always been really funky, Arsenal-related Twitter name. So I thought, my name's Ikram.
How are you? Are you on the road?
I'm at work.
Oh, you're at work?
I'm at work. Yeah, I'm hiding up. I saw the upload on the app saying that there's going to be a phone in. I thought, not to be missed. I did go to the live podcast, and I won't miss out on this one as well.
All right. So what's on your mind this evening?
Well, it was about a week ago. I've been struggling with this recently. I sensed that there was sort of a backlash by the mainstream media attacking fan-owned outlets, known for like the Arsenal Fan TV, and they were sort of belittling them and their opinions. And I was thinking, I mean, are they sort of upset because there's a bit of pie there that they're missing out on? Because I mean, I listen to most football podcasts, and listening to sort of 606 and stuff like that. Some of the callers that they get on there, it's like, come on. I remember one guy who wanted Ian Dowie to be a Leicester manager or something like that. And I'm struggling to think that, okay, I mean, I know that is a live caller, but surely if they were remotely interested in voicing a large amount of people's opinions, then something like that would be taken out. But, I mean, when it comes to Arsenal fan stuff, there's mainstream pundits now that literally are trolls for a living. And I was just wanting to know, what is going on? Have I missed something?
So you kind of feel like that maybe the mainstream media are a little bit threatened by independent fan voices, is that...?
Yeah, and the fact that they think that they have a right to belittle sort of, you know, anyone that has an opinion and any other outlet that's out there is sort of shush, use lot shush, you know, just be quiet.
Yeah.
We're the big boys here.
Well, you know, to be fair, I think what Gary Neville said, I think he was a little bit misrepresented in that he didn't necessarily say that he didn't think fans shouldn't have an opinion. He just said he didn't agree with the opinion of those fans or the way that opinion was being expressed. And, you know, he obviously sat down with Robbie and Arsenal Fan TV to talk to them, you know, but there was an element as well of like, well, okay. It almost felt to me like there was a need for some acceptance from Gary Neville. That's like, if Gary Neville or some other pundit doesn't like what you do, so fucking what? There are obviously a lot of Arsenal fans that like it, and its popularity speaks to that. So, there's no need for any validation from the mainstream media, because they've very much created their own niche. You know, they've gone out and they've worked hard and created all these videos, and it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks, you know? So...
I just found it a bit weird how they would attack the fans that go to the games and they have an opinion, but why would you not want to attack the mainstream trolls out there on certain other radio shows that come on roughly sort of this time, where they literally all they do for a living is just take the mickey out of certain managers, players for a living? I don't understand why no one's going after them.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Look, Gary Neville on Sky is not necessarily going to go after Adrian Durham on TalkSport, for example, right? Because, you know what I mean?
I didn't know if I could say any names on here.
Oh, no, I know exactly who you're talking about. I mean, he's a fucking idiot, that guy. So,
he's a cunt.
Yeah, absolutely. He definitely is. But that's the whole shtick, is that, you know, you be as controversial as you can possibly be, and people will react
to
that.
More views.
Exactly. You know, and look, let's let's be honest, there's an element of that to some of the fan produced stuff as well. That, you know, there are people who fill that niche as well, you know. But look, I'm going to move on. I'm going to try and get another call. Hope you don't have too long left in work tonight. And
2 hours.
That's nothing. That's nothing. And you'll be on the Arsecast tomorrow, so it's all good, man.
Cheers, mate.
Nice to talk to you. Thank you. Cheers.
Bye.
All right, that was a first part where we had people, and the second part is also more people. But what we're going to do is take a short break. We'll be right back after this.
So happy. This is fantastic. So happy. Fantastic. The fans so happy. This is fantastic. So happy. So happy. This is fantastic. So happy I go to golf with my dog.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
It's a brand new year, and what better time to get going with that online store you've been thinking of? Those "I was there when Arsenal actually scored a goal" t-shirts would fly off the shelves right now. And to get yourself up and running, you need Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way through to the did we hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort with thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 a month trial period at shopify.com/arseblog, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/arseblog now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/arseblog. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, hello. Who's this?
Mark Storms.
Mark Storms. We're having storms in Dublin today, so what an appropriate name.
I'm living in the UK right now. My wife's active duty military for the U.S. Air Force.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we're all football fans now, have been since my son's been playing.
Okay, cool. So whereabouts in the UK are you? Okay, no, it's probably classified, top secret. Don't tell me. I don't want anyone to come after me. It's fine.
No. We're at RAF Lakenheath and over Mildenhall, East Anglia.
Okay. All right. Got all that sea in Europe just over the water there, yeah. So what's on your mind tonight?
Oh, I don't know. Just, it was interesting. I've always thought this would be neat. I listen to your podcast all the time.
Oh, cool.
We have a mixed bag in my family. I'm the Arsenal fan, and my son's Manchester United. And
oh, you like, shocking parenting right there, man. What? That's a failure. Abject failure. Yeah.
his mom, my wife, she's Manchester City. So.
Right, okay. So at least, you know, it could get tempestuous in your house. Have a few drinks. Yes. Well, we some football.
Yeah, she got this assignment. We're all excited. So we've been to quite a few matches since we've been here. We've been to 6 matches, and we've only been here like 6 months.
Oh, cool. Where are you from originally?
Ohio.
Ohio. All right. And how long is the deployment?
3 years.
Okay, so you got plenty of opportunity to go and see the Arsenal. That's not bad.
Yeah, we've been twice already, went New Year's and saw the Scorpion kick.
Oh, cool. That was nice.
And then we were at the Burnley game.
Oh, that was exciting as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, and then we I got to see him. I had to sit on my hands because we were at the Etihad.
Oh.
So I watched that. I had to sit on my hands when they scored that first goal. I'm like, oh, because we're in her land. So right. She's getting the... And then they came back. I'm like, oh, we had some really good seats. We were right on the front row. Wow. We've been to Norwich a few times since they're an hour away.
All right. And how are you feeling about the Arsenal season?
Oh, it almost feels same old, but part of me, I'm like 50-50 on the fence with Wenger. Part of me wants a change, but then part of me knows if you make a change, then be careful what you wish for.
Sure. I mean, there is an element of that, of course. You know, it could get worse or it could get better. That's the thing. Or it could just stay the same. Imagine if it was exactly the same. Imagine if we got a brand new manager who came in full of fresh ideas and everything else, and it was just exactly the same. And it was the same way. We finished like second or third or fourth and kept losing in big games. That would be crazy. It would be just like, it'd be like Arsenal was sort of like the Amityville Horror House. It doesn't matter who you put in charge. It's just always going to be the same. This is our penance for stuff that we've done in a different
life. Well, yeah, then it could be, well, look, it wasn't the manager. It was something else.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so. All right. Well, look, I hope you enjoy your time in the UK and get to see lots more games. I'm gonna head off Mark Storms and take another call here, keep things moving, but good to talk to you.
All right, thank you.
My pleasure. Hello.
Hi, Andy.
Yes, it is. Who's this?
My name's Ben.
Hi, Ben. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Glad to see it works.
It does work. It just, there's been like loads of people calling in, and I can only answer one call at a time. So people are like ringing, and then I think going, oh, fuck that guy, he's not answering. But it's not that. There's just someone else on the line. Where are you calling from?
Southwater,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. And what's on your mind this evening?
I've just seen the Ranieri news. I know it's not Arsenal, but I just wonder, do you reckon that will have any implications on Arsene's thinking, you know, what's football come to these days, and does he want to be a part of it anymore?
No. I don't think it will, but it is, it's an amazing thing, isn't it, for a guy to win the Premier League with a team like Leicester and then get sacked the next season. Yeah. It's, I mean... What an amazing...
What was Vardy and Mahrez thinking now? You know, did they regret not leaving, do you reckon?
I would say so. I'd say particularly Vardy. I was listening to, I think it was Stuart James from The Guardian, who was on the Second Captains podcast, and he was saying that there wasn't really anybody seriously in for Mahrez in the summer. I know there were some reports about Arsenal being interested, but he claims that there were no real concrete offers for Mahrez. So... in terms of that, he was staying, but Vardy to have the chance to come to Arsenal and turn it down to play for a team that looks like it's probably going to be relegated. I never understood the decision, you know, from the point of view of you're never gonna be that hot a property again in your career. There's literally no way. And I always felt like, well, if he didn't want to come, well, then very much a bullet dodged from our point of view.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
But Mahrez, how cheap do you reckon he'll be in the summer? Do you think we should go back in for him? That's the question.
That is a good question, isn't it?
Sanchez, you know, I'm not very confident on Sanchez staying. We need another wide player and probably another striker.
Yeah.
Could Mahrez be a cheap 15, sort of 20 million if they go down?
It might be a little bit more expensive than that, but certainly he would be available. The thing is, though, you know, there was always that question, wasn't there, about Mahrez, about, like, can he do it again? Is he capable of producing for a second season in a row? Now, I know it's a little bit different, but you look at what Kante has done and the impact. I know Kante's gone to a much better side and a bigger club and everything else. But, you know, you could have had those same reservations about him where you go, is he really that good, or was he just part of this amazing Leicester effort? And he has shown that he is really that good. And I think there has to be some question marks about Mahrez and about...
Yeah, go on. Yeah, I think half the problem with Mahrez, though, I think teams have cottoned on to him. I think they know that if they stop Mahrez, they stop Leicester. And if you put him in a team such as Arsenal, players like Ozil, you know, Giroud, Walcott around him, they'll maybe not focus as much on Mahrez. That might free him up again.
Yeah, maybe he certainly might
maybe.
Be. Yeah, maybe he. I would be surprised if he wasn't in the thinking come the summer, depending
would you
on
take a punt if you were the manager.
Would I? It would really depend on the price, and I think you'd need to do some digging behind the scenes, wouldn't you, to get like what is his character really like? Because it's hard to know that if he's, you know, look, the Leicester collective has been terrible, so it's no surprise that everyone has been poor this season. So maybe it's not truly representative of him, but, you know, has he worked as hard as he might have? I think depending on who goes, I would consider it all right. Because when he's on form, he's a really, really exciting player for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If the price is right, I'd go back in for him.
All right. Well, listen, Ben.
I think Alexis is going.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I think they might just hang on to Alexis maybe for the final year, but we'll wait and see. But look, Ben, I'm going to keep it moving. Thanks a million for calling in.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Cheers.
All right. Nice talk to you. Cheers.
Cheers. Take care. Bye.
Bye. Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, Andrew.
Hi. Who's this?
My name's Jimmy.
Jimmy, how are you?
I'm quite okay. How you doing?
I'm all right. Where are you calling from?
Nigeria.
Nigeria? Cool.
Yeah.
And how's it going over there?
Oh, it's hot as hell, man.
Ah, God damn it. It's not hot as hell where I am, unfortunately.
Yeah, you said so in the blog this morning. It must be raining crazy out there.
Yeah.
How's it going?
It's going all right.
It didn't blow down your house.
No, not quite. I think we managed to escape the worst of it. I think it sort of picked up pace over. It moved over us and headed towards the UK, and I think they're getting much more of it than we are. So,
ouch.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Thank God for little blessings, I guess.
Exactly. So, what's on your mind this evening?
Oh man, like I've been trying to call you for ages. Like I was just hoping I'd get through before time went out.
No, that's it. No, it's we can only do one call at a time. That's the thing. I can't even put people on hold get them to wait.
So. I totally understand. How much are you regretting? How much of a nightmare has it turned out to be?
No, it's not a nightmare at all. It's been good fun, actually. I've had some interesting conversations.
Okay.
Yeah, it's been all right. So how are you feeling about... Go on.
Okay. Like, I was like, in terms of logistics of planning and executing the whole thing.
Oh, no. I mean, it's fine. It's literally just I have Skype open in front of me. I'm recording Skype and talking into a microphone. So, you know, it's not not necessarily rocket science. We had to ditch Andrew Allen earlier on because we had some echo on his line. But, hey, what can you do? What can you do?
I thought he was going to be sitting beside you.
No. Different countries. Different countries. So, I mean, Arsenal support in Nigeria is huge, isn't it?
Oh, no, it's crazy. It's crazy.
It's brilliant. Every time I get a Nigerian taxi driver here in Dublin, it's like, I'm going to talk to this dude about Arsenal because I'm like 99% sure he's going to be an Arsenal fan.
There's a state in the country where they've got Arsenal Day.
Oh, I read that.
Everybody just decks out in jerseys and just goes nuts. Like, well, Arsenal fans get picked on by everybody in Nigeria, so it's kind of horrible. Man United fans, Man City fans, Tottenham fans, Leicester City fans.
Hey, how can a Tottenham fan pick on an Arsenal fan? How is that possible?
In Nigeria, it's kind of more like how loud you can scream. Not really about... Exactly. So I don't even engage it. I just go straight racist. I'm Arsenal, you're Tottenham, you're beneath me. I'm not even going to talk to you.
Okay.
And did that.
Yeah, wow. I mean, I read about that Arsenal Day. That sounds absolutely fantastic. It's like a, you know, patron saints day. It's good. And
something like that.
Yeah, and how are you feeling about the season?
Oh, man, it started out with so much promise, and it's just, I don't know, a Groundhog Day, for lack of a better euphemism, I guess.
Yeah.
Because it's sort of the same progression every year. Like we start out, like, we held it together for a longer period of time, but we still had that mid-season capitulation. It's disheartening.
Yeah.
I love Arsenal Wenger. My entire Arsenal supporting life has been Arsene Wenger, and I'm kind of scared, like, what happens life after him? I mean, we will survive, but it's going to be painful. I mean, you look at how Man United carried out the transition from Sir Alex Ferguson, and I don't want that to happen to this club.
Mm. Yeah, it is a worry, of course. It is, you know, when you've got a guy who's been in charge for so long, he's very much the glue holding a lot of things together. So,
yeah.
You know, it is.
I just have a feeling his presence just papers over a lot of cracks that we have, and I do not know the reasons why. We still have some certain deficiencies that have not been sorted out yet.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird. If he has to refresh his coaching staff, if he has to take a look at his recruitment policy or something, but like with an authority figure like himself, who's going to question it?
Well, that's exactly why we have the situation that we have. You know that
nobody's going to question him. Like, yeah. That's just the thing. Like, I'm not saying we should question his tactics or style of play. I mean, it's Arsene Wenger, and his team will play the way he's always wanted his teams to play. No problem. That's what makes Arsenal so attractive to follow. But like, how about looking at the way he sends out his message to the players? Like, maybe the coaching staff aren't living up to the expectations that set up for them. I don't know. Or maybe they're not granted enough freedom in questioning his methods and preparing the team.
Sure.
Maybe he just can't prepare the team adequately enough on match days. Because it's a cyclical pattern, and if you do the same thing with the same methods over time, you're expected to get the same results. And we've got the same results for a long time now.
I
think something needs to change. I'm not gonna stand here and advocate for Arsene Wenger to go. I still trust him, but we need to take a look at some things. We need to change a couple of things. Seriously.
All right, man. Listen, Jimmy, it's been a pleasure talking to you. I'm going to keep it moving, get some more calls in. They're all coming in. Thanks a million for calling in.
No problem. Thank you very much.
Cheers, buddy.
Cheers. Bye.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I am all right. Who am I talking to?
Sorry, I introduced myself up. My name's Alex.
Hi.
I'm 21. I live in Buckinghamshire.
You lucky bastard, being only 21.
I can't believe I got through. This is excellent. Bloody hell. Excuse me. Sorry.
That's all right.
What's my language?
Oh, don't worry about swearing. This is the Arsecast after all. So we're all right with that. So how's your evening?
My evening's going well. I'm just sat on the sofa at home watching a bit of Man on the High Castle. I was just flicking through Twitter and I saw this come up, so I thought I'd give it a try.
And here you are. It's like a Christmas miracle.
Pretty much, yeah.
So what's on your mind from an Arsenal point of view?
What's on my mind? Well, to be honest, I've gone off the boil a bit with the season. I did enjoy the Sutton game, actually, once the sort of nerves got off. I don't know how you felt. Apologies, I can't really remember what you said on the Arsecast Extra. It's been strangely sort of a long week.
Yeah, I mean, it was just one of those weird games, isn't it, where you kind of go, there's no reason why we should be in trouble, but...
Yeah, it was fantastic. I went to uni in Exeter, and Liverpool played down there in the Cup last year. A couple of my housemates went to that, so it was really odd seeing sort of a big team at such a weird ground.
But sure.
The class of Arsenal, especially after the game, was really, really good.
Yeah.
And luckily no one snapped Alexis Sanchez's legs.
Yes, that was good. And yeah, that was a nice thing, wasn't it? You know, people were hung up on the idea that we didn't give them a pennant on the pitch. The captains didn't exchange pennants, but Arsenal, gave them this silver cannon and also have donated £50,000 to build these classrooms at the Sutton complex. So, I mean, I think that's a little more important than a pennant.
Yeah, no, exactly. It was just very well done overall. I think BBC was saying, or maybe it was you saying Arsenal, they didn't think they'd use the changing rooms and things like that. But overall, that was good. And of course, we got Lincoln up next, who of course beat Burnley. They beat Burnley away, didn't they?
Mm.
My memory. So they're used to tough oppositions, we've seen. But it'll be good to get through to Wembley again. I really did enjoy being quite a young Arsenal fan. I can't really remember the Invincibles. The only cup final before, obviously, the awful League Cup one was the Champions League. So
yeah.
It would be nice to get the FA Cup back again. We seem to do very well in it in the past few years.
Yeah, it's a great trophy to win. It's always a good day out, to get to the final at Wembley. And, we've got more FA Cups than anybody else. And, maybe we should try and extend our lead. I think that'd be all right,
Yeah, no, it would be. It's always a good day, the cup final day, and especially afterwards. I normally always rewatch the match about two or three times, or I have done in the previous two times we've won it.
Yeah.
Good.
Winning is the key, Alex. Winning is the key. That's it.
Winning is the key. It's a shame about how we're playing in the rest of the competition.
Mm.
It really is.
Yeah.
I had quite high hopes at the beginning of the season. We were playing very well. This open, fluid, attacking football. But, I don't know, there's... there was a Sky Sports article that I sort of flipped through. I try not to read everything they put out because most of it's normally rubbish. Well, rubbish in my opinion. But there was a piece, I don't know if you saw, about how Cazorla's injury is affecting Ozil.
I didn't read it. I saw the headline, all right, but I didn't.
I know, that's quite interesting. We obviously aren't playing well without Samson. We always normally play better because of his ball retention and stuff like that.
Mm.
But I don't know how you feel, but in sort of my limited knowledge of football, I see sort of Xhaka's ball distribution is very similar. Obviously, his tactics and other things are very different to Santi's, but do you feel Xhaka may have been brought in as sort of a more longer-term replacement for Santi in that kind of role, that distribution role?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, the I don't think you can find another Santi Cazorla. That's the thing. He's quite unique. You know, he's quite unique in the way that he can use both feet. And, you know, I think there's a lot to like about Xhaka. I think midfield is a big issue for us. That's... throughout the season, we haven't had a settled midfield. We haven't found a combination that really works together because of suspensions, because of injuries, because of players going out on loan, you know, players going away on international duty like Elneny. So, you know, I think that to me has been one of the big disappointments of the season, that we haven't nailed down a midfield duo that really work well together.
Yeah, I mean, indeed, you're right. I do really like Elneny. I like Xhaka.
Mm.
If he just calm down and realise when and when not to sort of pull shirts or slide in. But again, that's adaptation.
Yeah.
Again, Chelney, whoever, Mertesacker, they weren't great in their first season. Giroud, like, players take time to get used to the Premier League.
Sure.
Actually, I was thinking about something the other day. I'm sort of midfield-esque. But if, say, in the summer... Wenger did leave. We got a new manager and whoever that may be. You mentioned, I think, in the Arsecast, Simeone would come and sort of rip everything up. How would you feel if potentially Wilshere and Ramsey left, or either of those left? Do you feel that potentially could happen, and which player would you prefer or not prefer to leave?
That's a really good question. You know, yeah, I think Wilshere is probably more likely to leave because he's not at the club at this moment in time, you know? And he made a decision that he wanted to leave. And if Arsene Wenger is still the manager, I think that might be something that plays on his mind a little bit. But I think he likes both of them. He tried to use them both together. Not last season, season before. It didn't quite work. So again, it comes back to these compatibility issues that we seem to have in midfield. But Alex, I'm going to leave it here because I've got loads more calls coming in, and I'm going to try and get through a few of those.
Thank you very much.
Not at all.
Really excellent to get through. I wasn't expecting that. But thank you very much and have a good evening.
You too. Enjoy the sofa.
The Arsecast tomorrow.
All right. Cheers.
All right. Thank you very much.
No worries. Cheers. Bye. Right. Hello. Have we got Lev?
Yes. With now these talks about Bellerin and Ozil leaving, if Wenger leaves, you think we should keep Wenger for at least a season or two?
It really depends, you know, on how the rest of this season goes. I think that's what's going to be the defining factor in this this decision that both the club have to make and Arsene Wenger have to make. If the results are really good between now and the end of the season, it will probably prompt him to stay. But if results are bad and if we lose games, particularly against the big opposition, because we still have to play Liverpool, we have to play Manchester City, we have to play Manchester United, we have to play Tottenham. If the record in those games is not good, then I think the pressure will be very intense on Arsene Wenger.
Yeah.
Where are you calling from, Lev?
Pull it off.
Yeah, well, hopefully we can pull it off. Where are you calling from?
USA.
Okay, whereabouts?
In Boston.
And you're a big Arsenal fan?
Yeah.
How come you're an Arsenal fan?
My dad's from London.
All right, okay. That would explain it, all right?
Yep.
That would go a long way through. What do you think should happen?
I think right now we need to keep him. Bellerin goes on a dry spell and Ozil keeps mucking up, then we can sell them and get rid of Wenger.
Okay.
But he has been a very loyal manager.
He certainly has. He certainly has. Okay, well, Lev, it's been a pleasure to talk to you.
Me too.
Stay an Arsenal fan for as long as you can. It's fun sometimes, I promise.
Bye-bye.
Bye. He doesn't really sound convinced that it's fun, but it is sometimes. Do we have Nicholas?
Yes.
Hi, Nicholas. How are you?
Good, yeah.
Yeah, I'm good. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Canada.
From Canada. Okay, this is our second call of the night from Canada. Whereabouts?
From Quebec.
Quebec, okay. And what's on your mind this evening?
Well, I was thinking about transfers right now.
Transfers? It's only February, man.
I know. I'm already thinking about replacing some players.
Okay, who do you want to replace?
Well, I don't know. I'm thinking about replacements. I've watched Monaco game, and I've seen Mbappe.
Oh yeah, yeah. He does look an exciting prospect, doesn't he?
Yeah, really. I'm seeing Thierry Henry right in his eyes.
There is something about the way that he moves and the way that he plays the game. Did you watch the game against Manchester City?
Yeah, that's the game that I watch.
Okay, and that bit where he ran past Otamendi and then cut back inside Otamendi and left Otamendi flat on his arse was very Thierry Henry, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was unbelievable. I've seen that right there.
Yeah, so you would advocate going all in for Mbappe, Kylian Mbappe in the summer. Yeah. He's the main target, is he?
Yeah, I would see maybe him or Dembele. Moussa Dembele.
The guy at Celtic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my two players that I wanted this summer.
Okay, so if you had to get rid of somebody to sign one of those players, I mean, could you, let's say they came to you tomorrow and said, okay, Nicholas, in Canada, you can have Kylian Mbappe, but you've got to lose Alexis Sanchez. Would you do it?
That's hard, yeah. Well, I don't know, because the last game, I seen that he's like starting to lose his mind a bit.
Alexis or Mbappe?
Oh, Alexis.
Yeah, I think he has lost his mind. He posted something on Instagram this morning. I don't know if you saw it, or this afternoon, with a big storm in England. He posted a picture of himself halfway up a tree, like he's climbing trees. And like,
really, I didn't see that. No.
Yeah. So I think he's a. He's certainly a character in his own right. That's for sure.
But I really love Alexis, but when the team is playing like that, well, I don't know what we can do with him, and it's probably not good for him too.
Yeah, maybe he might like a change of scenery.
Yeah, because I don't want to lose him too. He's a special boy.
Yeah, he really is. He really is. Okay, well, listen, Nicholas, in Canada, thank you for calling in.
Well, not a problem. Thank you for listening.
Not at all. Stay well, and hopefully we'll have a bit of Mbappe in August. All right, man. Cheers.
All right. Cheers, yeah.
Bye. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Oh, hey, you sound like an alien.
Hello.
Hello. Hi. Who's this?
Hey, man.
Hey, it's good. I'm good. How are you?
This is Troy.
Hey, Troy.
Good, thanks. How are you?
I'm all right. You sound like you're calling from the other side of the world.
I am. I'm calling from Australia.
Right. How's it going down? It's morning there.
It is morning. I'm on my way to work.
Oh, no. That's terrible. Sorry. What do you do?
I know, but I'm stuck in a bucket load of traffic, and I thought, well, I might as well do something constructive and give you a call.
Oh, very cool. What do you do for a living?
I work in transport. So,
you're
thoroughly boring.
You work in transport and you're stuck in a traffic jam.
Yeah. I'll do something constructive.
Sure.
Talk about Arsenal.
All right. So what do you want to talk about?
I'm an Arsenal fan for a long time. And I know that everyone's on about Wenger in, Wenger out. And look, I'm, you know, Wenger in. But do you think that there's maybe some part of it that's overlooked in that, you know what, he never says anything about what he's going to do. He's a very reserved person. Do you think that in this day and age that maybe that's something to be respected rather than to come out and say every time something happens to react to it, to just be that calming influence over an entire club rather than be reactionary?
Yeah, you know, I think there is a lot to be said for that, particularly in the world that we live in at the moment, where it seems like the crazier you are and the more the louder you are, the more people pay attention to you. And I think that that does get lost a little bit, you know. And I think as well that perhaps if you step back and look at things objectively, they're not as bad as some people are saying. They're just not as good as people would like, or as people feel like they should be, if that makes sense, you know? And I do, you know, and I think, you know, I think there are obviously people out there who are very loud and some people who are abusive. I think there, the vast majority of Arsenal fans, one way or the other, will think that Arsene Wenger is an amazing person to listen to and an amazing character and an amazing man and a really intelligent man as well. And I love listening to him about not just Arsenal, but pretty much everything.
Yeah, same here. I think he's very underrated. And I think, you know, for what he's done for the club and for what the club's about, and I think a lot of what gets lost in this day and age is the reason that I love the club is because it's not about win at all costs. And Wenger's not that sort of person. He came to the club because the club wants to win titles, but they want to win it the right way. They don't want to just go and spend, you know, an obscene amount of money, you know, on players just to win. They don't want to be a Man City. And I'm not saying everyone's different, obviously, but they don't want to buy a title. They want to do it the right way, you know, by building it. And I think that's something to be respected. That's why I love the club, because in this day and age, you don't get that anymore.
Yep, it's true. And, you know, I think there's a balance to be found between that. You know, when you say win at all costs, it doesn't necessarily mean how much money you spend. You know, we could be a bit more cynical. That could be a bit more win at all costs. You know, when we're on the pitch, we could be just a bit nastier at times and a bit less easily pushed around. So that could feed into that. But I do know what you mean. And I know a lot of people respect that about Arsene Wenger and the way that he operates, that, you know, he would never endanger the long-term future of the club by mortgaging everything on players. I know what you mean.
Yeah, I just think, you know, that's the thing that, you know, I think that's to be respected. I love him, I love the club, but I think that, you know, it's one of those things that's peculiar, or not peculiar, but probably, you know, unique to our club, is that we don't talk. Like, you know, during transfer windows, we don't talk about what we're doing until it's done. We don't, you know, advertise what's going on within the club. And, yeah, I agree with the players on the field. Show a bit more passion like the teams from, like, you know, the late 90s and the early 2000s. Just give that bit of fire, and that's what will get the fans back, just to see it. I mean, obviously, no one, they don't go out there to lose. They want to win. Everyone wants to win. But I think, you know, just that, and from the players' perspective, is what the fans need to see.
Sure,
sure. But I think, you know, I would just love for him, I'd love for him to stay another couple of years and transition the club properly.
All right, Troy, listen, I'm going to move on and take one final call here, I think. Great to talk to you. I hope you have a good day of work out there, and stay cool. I believe it's quite warm over there.
It is. Thanks for taking my call, mate. Love the podcast. It's brilliant.
Thanks a million.
Cheers. Bye.
Hello. We've got time for almost one last one. Very quick one. Who's this?
Eddie,
how are you?
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm okay. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling you from Dunfermline in Scotland.
Okay. How is it up there? A bit windy?
No, not as windy, actually. Okay. We had a bit of snow in the morning. Didn't have much wind.
Okay, so what's on your mind this evening? We're just coming towards the end of the show, so I'm going to try and keep it a little bit quick. So tell me what's going on.
Well, other than enjoying the early being central right now, the other bit I had on mind is around this whole thing with Arsene Wenger and thinking of succession planning. I've been thinking that it could probably be an option for the benefit of the club. If, for argument's sake, the club decided that they're going to change the structure, but we know that these things take a lot of time, and given the importance that Wenger has, or the importance of Wenger to the club, if he were to stay on maybe for a year, well, it's knowing that after that year, he's going to leave. I was just wondering what your thoughts are around that.
I think, you know, that there is a little, a fair bit of sense to that, to be honest, you know, that maybe he is a guy who could stay to help put those structures in place. I think what happens, though, if a manager announces that he's going to leave before he's going to leave, like Alex Ferguson did, he always said that that was a mistake, that if you go into a season where everybody knows it's his last season, it could go two ways, right? One, the players are like, it's his last season, let's work extra hard to give him the send-off that he deserves. Or it goes the other way, where the players aren't necessarily, he doesn't have the authority that he should have, because the players are going, you know, you're gone in the summer. There's a new guy coming in. We don't necessarily know who it is. So, you know, we're not going to listen to you. So it could be a little bit difficult in that regard. But if he does stay, if it's a case that he signs a new two-year deal, I would hope that in that time, that part of the mandate that he has within those 2 years is to help put those structures in place to appoint that sporting director or director of football, and to maybe overhaul some of the things at board level, that he could have an input into those things. I think that would be a helpful thing if it's a case that he was to stay.
Yeah, it is a difficult one, isn't it? Because, I mean, he's 20 years at the club, and for him to just go away like that, the impact would be seismic. And he stays, you know, the atmosphere is rotten and everyone is unhappy. It's just a very, very tricky one.
It is.
But I'm hoping at the end of the day, you know, there will be something that will benefit, you know, both the club and in the long term, us in Wenger, you know. Given the amount of, you know, effort he's put in the club and where he's put us as Arsenal Football Club.
All right, man. Well, listen, I'm going to leave it there. Thank you very much indeed for calling in.
Cheers. Appreciate thanks very it. Much. Cheers. Bye.
All right. Final one of the evening. We have Johnny.
Good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. Where are you calling me from?
I'm calling from New York.
New York.
Yeah,
that's
it's
good,
quite nice.
Yeah, it's a good place actually. Quite tall, big buildings.
Yeah, a bit sunny. Basically, like most of the UK at the moment.
Yeah, exactly, and like Ireland as well. It's just Ireland is the same, except smaller and colder and wetter.
Yeah, you've got like. I think that's enough weather small talk. I think we've exhausted that route there.
Sure, I would turn video off there because it affects your sound.
Does it?
Yeah.
Let me do. I thought you'd want to see my face. That was the only.
No, I mean I've seen it now. It's lovely and everything, but you know.
There you go.
It's a vision imprinted on my mind for the rest of my life. How about that?
Can't do better than that. Can't do better.
You can't. So you're the final call of the evening. We've had people from all over the world: Australia, Nigeria, Canada, the States, England, everywhere, Sweden. So what do you want to talk about?
Well, I mean, not wanting to preempt what you've had on the show, but I thought it would be quite appropriate given recent events in a potentially futile way, appeal for a bit more nuance in the way people discuss Arsenal and football in general, and probably point out that everything doesn't have to be binary. You know, every performance doesn't have to be good or bad or great or amazing or terrible. Mm. And you don't have to choose between wanting the club to do well and wanting certain individuals to do well, or, you know, even right through to like we've created these false the need for things to talk about, especially through social media, where we create situations that literally can only divide fans. And whilst I think there are some general issues, genuine issues at the club that people should discuss, like things, we've got this situation now where everything becomes a talking point and an issue for fans to fall out over because of people's desire to be controversial and have an opinion that gets them attention online.
Well, yeah, I mean, there is an element of that. I mean, is there not, as well, playing devil's advocate, the media climate in general means that every single thing that happens is now a story. So, you know, there are multitudes of things that happen around a football game, a performance, et cetera, et cetera. But because of the desire or the need in, from the media, not just fans when they talk online, but the media feeds into this as well. And, you know, Ars Blog and other blogs and, you know, video channels and all those kind of things, that you can't escape a single thing that happens in the game these days. So no matter how hard you try to be nuanced, and I think you know that here on Ars Blog, we try and do that as much as possible. You know, it's hard to escape it.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a couple of points, right? I think I agree with what you've said. I think we also have a responsibility as mature people in a reasonably civilized world not just to jump on everything without thinking. And it's probably all too easy for people to rise to things when it's put out there to get your attention or to intentionally stir up conflict. And I think the second part of it is there are just so many ridiculous things now where, you know, even like the Wilshere Ramsey thing, it's just so stupid. It's fun and it was funny for a bit, but like there are just so many issues now where Arsenal fans are genuinely falling out over the most irrelevant things and just looking for arguments where there shouldn't be any. And I think people have forgotten. I just think it takes the enjoyment out of football. Everything becomes about the story and what's going on around the game rather than just enjoying the game.
And do you feel like there are people who are like trying in a way to start those kind of conflicts between fans to gain status, for example, to say, look, I'm a better fan than you are because I think this, or you're an idiot because you think that?
I think there's, yeah. So, I mean, obviously you've got like your talk sports who, like, that's how they get their hits. That's how they literally make their money.
Yeah.
And I don't think we can realistically expect that to go away because it works for them. But I think we can be sensible and call it out when we see it. And then I think the other angle is, there will be people who take a certain line where it's quite hard to disagree. But what happens is because of the way the internet works and the way technology works is people aren't online the whole time, which means you can selectively pop up whenever whatever argument you've decided to take is proven.
Yeah.
You know, every game doesn't prove every game we lose doesn't prove that Wenger should go. Every game we win doesn't prove that he should stay. And I think it's quite easy, the way we consume our news and discuss football, it's quite easy to go into a, take a position on something and just selectively only engage when your view is being supported, even though you basically arbitrarily chosen that view.
Yeah. I mean, what you're basically saying is that we should use reason, intelligence, common sense, manners, and dignity on the internet.
I feel like that's quite groundbreaking.
I know.
I didn't realize I was going far with it.
It's a revolutionary concept. I feel like it probably should have been trialed before now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what it is. Maybe it is. Maybe people should just think a little bit. But that's dangerous because it leads to other things.
Yeah,
that happen off the back of it.
True. I try not to think quite a lot. You know, I find if I, you know, think about stuff, it does my head in. But, you know, I think you're right. You know, there is a need to move away as much as possible from the really knee-jerk stuff. And of course, football is exciting and it creates passion within people. But one of the things that I've always said is that you can feel very strongly about something and not be an absolute cunt when you make your point about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult to put it in a more articulate way than you just did.
All right.
But I think that's one of the things where especially in the last few months, but it's normally, and yeah, like it's a similar point every season, but it becomes genuinely difficult just to enjoy football. And like, it's hard to admit, but football isn't actually that important in the grander scheme of the world, right? It's a hobby. It's something we all choose to enjoy because we all like it. And it feels wrong, therefore, that it's something that could be so corrosive. And it's even worse that we're the ones making it like that. Mm. There's no reason why a football match should like ruin your mood for an entire week. And it does.
Mm.
And it can do. And I think that's partly because you know that when certain things happen, you just get this tide of, it's boring and it's nauseating, the fallout every time something goes wrong with the club. And it's never proportionate to what's happened. And like, it's often rooted in something genuine, but it's, I don't know, I'm finding it really difficult this season to explain to people why I like football. You go in to work, say on a Monday, around a load of people who, some like football, some don't. But, you know, it's really hard to explain why your hobby makes you pissed off the whole time.
Yeah. It was great. It was great. We lost and, like, everyone started fighting with each other. That's what football's all about. It is a bit like that. But, Johnny, listen, we better leave it there. Stay well in New York.
Yeah, I'm trying. There's too much food and sun. It's really difficult.
Oh, well, listen, my heart is bleeding for you right here.
I really appreciate it. Thank you. And thanks for having me on.
So there you go. That is the podcast. That is the Arsecast for this week. Something a little bit different. We've never done that before. And I think before we do it again, we're going to have to work on a couple of technological issues. You know, it's probably a good idea to test things. I believe that's what people do when they come up with ideas. They test them to see if they actually work rather than just come up with the idea at the last minute and go, well, we'll try this and see if it all works out. But anyway, hope you enjoyed it. People from all over the world, isn't it mad? Just the game is global and Arsenal are global, and it's amazing to talk to people from all these countries who are just fans of Arsenal and Arsenal Football Club. And it's great, and glad to make contact with all of you, and glad to spread the Arsenal word, etc., etc. So look, we're going to leave it there. James and I will be here with an Arsecast Extra on Monday. God knows what we're going to talk about on that, but no doubt we'll think of something. Have yourselves a great weekend. Come on, Southampton. Make Jose Mourinho sad. Do that for us, please, if you wouldn't mind. Until the next one, take it easy. Cheers. Bye-bye. Right, butternut squash and chili soup. It's really easy, right? You get a butternut squash and then you peel all the hard stuff off it. Now, that's a pain in the fucking hole. Never let anyone tell you that peeling a squash is easy. It's not. You should, if you can afford it, hire someone to do it for you. It's such a pain in the fucking hole. But anyway, peel the squash and chop it up into sort of chunky bits, right? Chunks, I think they call them. Get a massive onion or two medium onions, put them in a pot with some butter, and, do the shit with the onions, you know, as you heat and cook them. Cook the onions a little bit. Here's the thing, though. This is the trick. It's not the trick. It's just a trick. Put a little bit of sugar on the onions while you're cooking them in the butter, and it gives them this sort of nice caramelly stuff. And then you put in the chunks of butternut squash, and you stir it around. You get some black pepper, freshly ground black pepper. Put in a good scrunch of that. Now, that's a measurement that exists only in my world. A scrunch is however much you think you might need. So a scrunch of black pepper, a scrunch of sea salt. Again, it's to your own personal taste. Chop up two red chilies. Put them in with the onions and the butternut squash and what's the other stuff I've got in there? The salt and pepper and the butter and everything else. You also need to add to medium potatoes. This is important because it can taste a bit squashy if you don't have the potatoes in there. So put in two medium potatoes cut into chunky chunks. Slap that in there. You know, sweat the whole stuff around, you know, let them get a good coating and what have you. If you're feeling really brave, you can throw in some chili flakes. You could probably throw in maybe just a touch of sriracha if you would like, just to give it that extra bit of kick. Then you add in about a liter of chicken stock, slap that in there, cover it up, let the vegetables get really, really soft. When they're soft, whiz it up till it's like soupy. And then, important, you need some cream, just like, I don't know, half a something of cream, like a cup or a whatever, just like a mini pot of cream, and put half of it in or all of it in. Maybe you like stuff creamy, and then let it cook. I would suggest leaving it overnight, because soup is much better when you leave it overnight. Heat it up the next day, put it in a bowl with some crunchy bread, and eat the shit out of it. There you go. Diplomatic silence again.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.